Okay, so the Lord says, I would have done anything for you, David. Look at all that I've done. Look at all that I've done for you. Why did you despise the word of the Lord and do evil in his eyes? I want you to see something. When you blatantly sin and you know God, you are despising the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord and Jesus are one, the Bible says, and you are doing evil. You are doing evil in the eyes of God. That's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is caring more what God thinks than what people think. And now verse 10, now the sword shall not turn aside from your house continually because you have despised me and have taken the wife. And you know, that's so true, because if you study it, which I studied it before I start preaching tonight, even after David dies and makes Solomon king, his other son sets up a scheme against Solomon and Solomon has him murdered. It just goes on and on. All right. Listen, look to verse 11. So says the Lord, behold, I shall raise up evil against you out of your own house. I shall take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbors. And he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. And you're going to find out that happens in one of the battles that happens to David. We don't have time to study all this history in David. But David has one of his wives is taken, and she's the one who takes him. I think it was Absalom. I'll have to check it and see, but I think even Absalom slept with her, but on one of the wives. But anyway, for you acted in secret, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before all the sun. And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against Jehovah. And Nathan said to David, Jehovah also has put away your sin. You shall not die. So David's getting this. He got caught. This whole thing is a big mess. There's two curses on him. Four of his sons will die. Also, he shall be shamed and publicly made a fool by having his wife taken by another man, just as he did to this man secretly. You will reap what you sow. That's why Tuesday nights are so important. That's why this teaching is so important, because if you get it under the blood, you won't have to reap that. You won't have to keep running from it. You won't have to wait till it comes to destroy your house. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for repentance. And also it shows you, I want you to see this, it shows that some of the stuff you've done and some of the stuff you've been involved in comes from your parents' sin. So there's no condemnation in Christ. The key is, in Christ, we get out of darkness. I don't care who you are in darkness. It's dark. I don't care who you are in darkness. There's people who have sinned in your family line, who have brought the iniquity into your line, has opened doors for you to do things you never thought you would do. And then those doors you open are causing your kids to do things you never thought they would do. Even if you raised them in church and dressed them up on Sunday morning and you never missed a Sunday and they have a little pin to show they had 100% attendance. It's not until you get the revelation and renounce evil and hate it. See, now David is hating this lust. He is, I guarantee you, he's despising that he ever took that second look. What has it got to take? What has it got to take before you wish you would never, ever open the computer to pornography again? What does it have to take? Because in Christ, we can get free that fast, but not till we hate. And let me show you something else about this. Those things you're doing in secret, they're not in secret. God knows. And if they don't get exposed on this side of heaven, where you can bring the blood of Christ over them, then they can eternally get you damned. But let's say you get into heaven. They will be exposed on Judgment Day before everybody there. What do you want your judgment to look like? I want mine to be so fast that the bad part of it is all covered under the blood. I want God to show me every evil thing in my heart. I want it out. I want Christ to deal with it. I would rather repent publicly before you and however he wants me to, than to stand that day in the presence of God on the most glorious day when we're to receive our rewards in heaven and find out that there was unrepentant sin. And hopefully that doesn't take you to hell. Biblically, it probably will. But God is merciful and just. And you're in this place and you have opportunity beyond opportunity to get your heart right and get free and humble yourself before the Lord. And just, if you need help getting free, then if you're a man, come on Monday nights, and men, help each other get free and don't judge each other. And if you're a lady, just talk to Terry. She has a lot of ministry she's helping ladies with or whatever. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just get free. How do you know if you need to do it with confess your sins one to another, like the Bible says, and he's faithful and just? Because if you've only confessed your sin to God and you really despise it and it's not going away, then that pride is keeping it from being destroyed out of your life. And so maybe the Lord will show you just one person to humble yourself before. Whatever. I'm not saying just use wisdom. But I'm telling, like, Michael, you really started getting free when you started opening up and sharing, right? And it's been some difficult stuff. But praise God, because freedom's where it's at. It's all about victory. It's about God getting the glory. Everybody here is messed up. Okay, get over it. But we're getting free. There's not the walking on water perfect saint yet. And it's okay. It's okay if we're really, really desiring to be holy. God doesn't say kind of be holy. He says be holy because I'm holy. And don't ever think that you can outsmart that sin. Don't ever think. Don't get to a point where it's taking you to hell before you really hate it. I mean, you can't. God's so good. Some people are going to be snatched from the flames. I want you to take very serious that sin is serious stuff. It crucified Christ, and it put him on, it took him to hell, and it put him on the cross. And the only sin that no longer can take you to hell is sin that has been completely dealt with at the cross. And every trial and thing that comes in your life is to help you to hate sin. Thank God for trials. And if you count it all joy, it's going to mature you because you'll get to the other side. This is the first time I realized, you know, if our kids never had a trial, they'd never deal with sin and they'd go to hell. So maybe they need some trials. Don't worry, they'll get them whether you want them to have them or not. But you need to see things from an eternal perspective where God says it's more important for people to have eternal salvation than to have an easy, happy little life. God is not about the easy, happy little life, no matter how many times you've heard that preached in the faith message. He does want those who love him and obey him and surrender to him to have the finances they need to do the kingdom work. He does want us to have the truth of his power and word to set the captive free, starting with ourselves. And he is a God of healing and blessing. Praise God. But he is a God who brings his blessing as we allow him to destroy the yoke of darkness in our life. Here's David, after a heart of God, wrote Psalms, praised the Lord, went through all these things with God. And this is a really strong message for all of us. Don't ever think that God has such favoritism on your life because he's given you the kingdom. He's given you the promises. He's given you the business. He's given you the things you've asked for. He's given you the healing. He's done these things. And now it's okay because you and God are such good buddies. It's okay for you to just sin a little. David, you know, David, he knew better. To him's given much, much is required. David knew more than a kid flipping through TV and getting hooked on pornography. And David paid more than most kids clicking through TV and getting hooked on pornography are going to pay. To him is given much, much is required. Are y'all liking this teaching? Not like, yay, this is fun, but like, yay, this is the Bible. All right, I'm going to try to get through these scriptures real quick because I think you got the idea that we're going to pray. 2 Samuel 13:2. It happened that Absalom, the son of David, had a beautiful sister named Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Now, Absalom and Amnon had different mothers because David had different wives, okay? All right, so Absalom had a natural sister, same David, same father, same mother, and his sister was Tamar. And Amnon thought he was in love with her. Amnon was a half-brother of Tamar's. And Amnon was distressed even to becoming sick because his sister Tamar. All right, and you know what? Let me do this next week because this is powerful about codependency. And some of you need to get really free from this, so that you do not pass this to your kids. This is when your kids, you think you have to have somebody. Oh, if they won't love you, you just can't be all right. And it's a really strong thing that brings people into abusive situations, okay? And so next week we'll look at the lust that was in, that David had, that he passed on to his son Amon and how that affected his house. And so we'll look at that next week. We're also going to look at next week what happened to Amon, what happened to Absalom. All the way, next week I should be able to get through, I think, all the way to the part where David dies. And really see this mess that came into his house. Let's just pray. Let's just pray tonight. I'm not going to do an altar call tonight. We're going to wait till next week. But Father, we just come before you. Lord, I just pray that people will take this week to spend time with you for sin that hasn't been confessed, for sin that they feel like they got away with. Oh Lord, for sin they've repented of, but they've never really hated, especially if they've never hated it enough to stop it. Lord, I pray this week for anyone who has blamed you, God, for bad things that have happened, that they would spend time with you and find out, Lord, how it was never in your plan for those bad things to happen, that these things are all set up by the evil one, and all your plans are good. All your plans are good for us. Lord, you've given us your word. You've given us these examples. You've given us these true lives so that we can see how Satan works. And then, Lord, in the word of God, when the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, we now have authority over these spirits in your name. We have authority to come out of darkness and into light by just renouncing those things that are evil and hating what you hate. Father, my prayer is that people in this place will get a reverent fear of you, that, Lord, they will begin to, their eyes would open. I pray that there would be an opening of eyes in this place, of people seeing that these little things that they didn't think were a big deal were actually just part of the scheme of Satan to hurt them or hurt their family or hurt their future generations. And Lord, we just want to be so clean and holy and set free from this mess so that we can just have the awesome life that you have for us, so that we can glorify you. So Father, I ask you to deal with everybody, anyone who has lust, Lord, that you would help them to get free from it, completely free from it. Father, we just give you praise for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.